But first of all, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to bring a brief message concerning what the Bible says about sickness and about healing. And we could really, actually, we could pray first and not bother even having a message. But the message is very important for two key reasons. And this is how it is most Sundays, really. The message is very important because we need to target, and my intention with this message is to target stinking thinking. And the biggest battle that you have in your life is actually what takes place between your ears. That's where the battles take place. It's not so much out there, it's what goes on in your thought life. In fact, next Sunday, you want to make sure you're here next Sunday. I'm going to be talking about faith and the thought life next Sunday morning. You don't want to miss that. But this morning, this message is about, you know, dealing with and targeting our stinking thinking. And if you've got the wrong idea about God and what He's provided for you, then you're going to find it really hard to receive healing in Jesus' name. And we get rid of incorrect stinking thinking by hearing the truth from the Bible, God's Word. And God's Word is truth. Amen? The second reason for this message is to build faith. Everything that we receive from God comes to us by faith and trusting in Him, His character and in His Word. God provides for us, but we receive His provision into our lives only by faith. Amen? We get saved from our sins by faith. And in the same way, we receive miracles, we receive health, we receive healing by faith in the truth of the Bible, God's Word. And so we need to build faith before we pray. So when you come out to the front in a few moments, you're going to come with an expectancy that God is going to touch you this morning in Jesus' name. Today's message rests on the foundation also of just two key truths. So everything I'm going to say, I promise you I won't be too long, but there's two foundational truths. And try to remember them throughout this message. The first truth is this, is that God is not the one who makes people sick. I'll say it again. God is not the one who makes people sick. And in a moment, I'm going to show you the five key areas where sickness comes from. And you'll see that God is not the source of your sickness. So God is not the source of the sickness or pain in your life. And we've got to be really clear about this. This is so important. Because if you wrongly think that God sent you sickness, then you're going to be unsure whether He wants to heal you or not. And, you know, people say, well, you know, sickness is from God because we learn lots of lessons about God and about life when we're sick. Well, you can learn lessons about God and life when you're sick, but that's about God bringing good out of bad. It doesn't mean God has sent the sickness upon you. And we've got to be clear about these things. God is a healer, and He's declared war on sickness. Sickness is your enemy, and He is the one who will restore health to you today in Jesus' name and any day. And that's, when you think about it, that's why there's no sickness in heaven. When you go to heaven, you're not going to take flu with you. You're not going to take sickness with you. You will arrive in heaven healed. You will arrive in heaven healthy, and heaven is the ultimate healing experience. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Secondly, that's one foundational truth. Secondly, this message also rests upon the truth that God is able. God is able and God is willing to heal any kind of illness and sickness because nothing is too hard for the Lord. It's funny, isn't it, how we have these hierarchies of sicknesses. Well, I'm not going to pray about that. It's been in the family for years. So, you know, no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. So with that in mind, we're going to begin by reading from Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 5. And we've got it on the screen. And Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Remember when we spoke about the scarlet thread last week, everybody? Some of you are here for that. Yeah, well, this was 700 years before Jesus was born. And yet this passage prophesied about Jesus and His suffering on the cross. And I'm actually going to read from the Amplified Version, which means it's longer than normal, isn't it, right? But here we go. You ready, everybody? He, Jesus, was despised and rejected and forsaken by men. He was a man of sorrows and pains, and He was acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, He was despised, and we did not appreciate His worth or have any esteem for Him. Surely he's borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being, that shalom for us, was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. We are healed and made whole. Praise God. What a beautiful scripture. I'm getting hot. Amen. So this is an ancient passage written 2,700 years ago. And this ancient passage is a description of the curse for blessing exchange that took place on the cross of Jesus Christ. We deserved the curses that we've just read about that fell upon Jesus when he suffered on the cross, because we are sinners and we have been rebellious. So we deserve those curses. But Jesus took the curses that we deserved, and then God gave us everything we don't deserve, which are all the blessings of God's grace. I'm going to demonstrate this to you, if I can. Jim, you're about the same size as me, aren't you? Maybe a bit bigger. Come forward, Jim. Okay, so I just want to demonstrate this. I'm a sinner. Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm under the weight of curse because of my sin and rebelliousness. Jesus carries blessing and favor. And on the cross, an exchange took place. Where my you can start taking your jacket off. Where my just work with me. Amen. And an exchange took place, so my curses went to Jesus, and Jesus' blessing, came to me. I am now blessed. I'm wearing the blessings of Jesus. Jesus has the curses. Come on, give him a hand. Thanks, Jim. Amen. Amen. I won't worry with the jacket. There we go. Could give Jim another hand. He that wasn't scripted. So Jesus exchanges blessings and favored life for our curses. Really important to be clear about that. And that means then that you're not cursed anymore. Doesn't matter what anybody says about you. Doesn't matter what people yell at you. You are not cursed anymore. You are blessed because of the cross. This is what Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 to 14 says about this curse for blessing exchange. It says, Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. This is a Message Bible. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now because of that, the air is cleared and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jewish people like us. We are all able and to receive God's life, his spirit in and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it. So Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, took your curse so that you could inherit Abraham's blessing. So just exactly what is Abraham's blessing, or the blessing of Abraham? What is this talking about? Genesis chapter 24 verse 1 tells us all about it. It says, Abraham was now a very old man and the Lord had blessed him in some ways. Come on, read it, everybody. The Lord had blessed him in every way. Blessed him in every way. The blessing of Abraham is where a person's entire life is under God's favor so that their life is healthy and complete. That includes every area of our lives. That includes our family relationships. It includes our friends. It includes our finances. It includes our health. God's favor is upon us so that we're blessed in every way. Amen. So when Jesus died, he did not die so we could be sort of blessed. Jesus did not die so we could be a little bit blessed. Jesus died so we could be totally blessed in every way, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus died and Jesus carried our curse so we could be blessed and favored just like Abraham was. So there is an eightfold curse for blessing exchange that happened on the cross when Jesus was crucified. While suffering on the cross, Jesus took eight of your curses, eight curses away from us so that eight blessings could come to us. Here are the eight curses for blessing exchanged on the cross. Jesus took our death so we could have eternal life. Jesus took our sin so we could be right with God. Jesus took our sickness so we can be healthy. Jesus took our rejection so we can be accepted by God. Jesus took our poverty so we could be prosperous. Jesus took our defeat so we could have victory. Jesus took our bondage so we could have freedom. Jesus took our punishment so we could have shalom, so we could have peace in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus Christ took your curses upon himself and he released the blessing of Abraham to you. Hallelujah! I'm actually trying not to shout this morning, but I feel a shout coming on. Amen. So this wonderful suite of blessings is your new birthright. Don't let the devil tell you anything else. Because what I've just read out to you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eternal life, righteousness, healing, acceptance, prosperity, victory, freedom, and peace are given to you through Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on. You don't need to win lotto. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be blessed. Amen. I'm preaching harder than you're saying hallelujah today. So you're not cursed. I've been around a long time. I've heard Christians say things that should not be said. I've heard Christians going through a hard time and then they'll say something like, well, you know, there's no rest for the wicked. That's a quote from the book of Isaiah as well, and they're misquoting it. You're not wicked, you're blessed in Jesus' name. You're blessed and you're highly favored. I'm going to say it to you again. Just let it wash over you, because some of you have had such terrible things said to you that should not have been said. You are blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name. So let's leave the curses behind, because you are a new creation, and let's walk in the blessings of God. We're already going to have a good week this week. Amen. We're going to step out in the blessings of God. Amen. And healing and good health are blessings that belong to you and to me. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. So, if God does not send sickness on people, then where does sickness come from? And there are at least five major reasons for sickness. And most of you will be familiar with these. The first one is this: bugs, infections, and accidents. Mark 1:30 says, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. Sounds like the flu to me. And they immediately told Jesus about her and he went and healed her. Where did Simon's mother-in-law get the flu or the fever? I don't know. But she was probably shopping at Carousel and somebody sneezed on her. And that's about as deep as it gets for most of our sicknesses. Somebody sneezed. Your kid picked something up at school, they brought it home. And of course, that could happen to anybody. Yeah. You know. And why is that? Because ever since the fall, the world's ecology has been on a downward spiral. You know, every virus, every bug, every germ had its place in the original creation. But ecology's gone haywire, the world is cursed, and bugs are out of sorts and everything like that. And that's why we get sick. That's why we get sick. And the other thing, too, is that sometimes people injure themselves. They have a car accident. They fall over. They roll out of bed. We get hurt. People have accidents, and people get hurt. And so a large number of sicknesses come because the world is fallen and our bodies are aging and we have accidents sometime. I know that's not deeply spiritual, but that's how it is. Second source of sickness is poor diet and lifestyle. Come on. Now, I'm not an expert on this. There's plenty of other people experts on this. But if you're regularly eating fried, fatty foods, or if you're regularly eating sugar-packed foods, then you will damage your body. And you're going to affect your immune system. You know, you've got to look after your immune system. So when that person does sneeze on you, you increase the probability that it's not going to affect you. If you continually overeat, our portion sizes are too big, ladies and gentlemen. If you continually overeat, or if you smoke, or if you drink heavily, or if you take drugs, or you're going to damage your body. If you stay up too late and only get a little bit of sleep, you're going to damage your body. If you sleep around, you risk getting an STD. You're going to damage your body. And it's not the devil attacking you, it's you attacking yourself. And that's just being plain stupid. So a lot of sickness in society comes because of poor diet, lack of exercise, and because of living in constant stress. But by using some wisdom regarding both our diet and lifestyle, we can improve our health because God's built into our bodies amazing recuperative powers into our bodies, so we can recover. So if you treat your body well, then you will be healthier. Amen. You're jumping for joy on that one. Amen. God expects us, actually, ladies and gentlemen. We need to honor God with our bodies. The Bible teaches that. And we need to honor the Lord by just taking, looking after our bodies and also looking after our minds. You know, watch what you put in your mouth and watch what you put in through your ears and eyes. Amen. Amen. Okay, number three. Another source for sicknesses is hereditary diseases. Sometimes families can have a certain disease or an illness that is passed from one generation to the next generation. And that's because, the reason for that is because our bloodlines have become deeply affected by the fall and by our sin. And contrary to what evolutionists will tell you, man's not actually improving. We're actually going backwards. We're going backwards from the fall. And there are mutations in the human body taking place that are not actually improving humanity. It's actually going the other way. So, hereditary diseases. Number four, demonic strongholds and a spirit of infirmity. In Luke 13, we read of a woman who had been bent double for 18 years. The Bible says Jesus saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. And then Jesus healed her. And then he was criticized. So Jesus said, "This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years, and isn't it right that she be healed even on the Sabbath?" Some sicknesses are caused directly by an evil spirit, and often the way to healing is for the oppressing evil spirit to be cast out in the name of Jesus. And we have authority over the evil spirits in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? The fifth and final one, and please just hear me on this. I hope I express this properly. There was a man who had been... So the fifth one is sin. Sin could be a source of sickness. There was a man who had been paralyzed in the Bible for 38 years. That's a long time. And you read about him in John chapter 5. And Jesus came by and healed him, the man. And a little later, Jesus was talking to him and he said this. It's very interesting. Jesus says, "Now you are well, so stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Interesting passage. And I think we need to take this verse in the context of our covenant with Jesus Christ, because we live under grace and not the law. Amen? So I don't want everybody panicking in the room this morning. Amen? and think, oh, we're going to get the flu because I had an argument and said a swear word with somebody, or you know, we're not going to get sick every time we sin. We're under grace. Could somebody say amen to that? Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so we're not going to get sick every time we sin. But there are two sins that if you persist in them, then you will be vulnerable to being attacked in the area of your health. Would you like me to tell you what those two sins are? And you might disagree with me and talk to Rochelle about it afterwards. Amen. One of those sins, and this is a real biggie, and I've got a lot more to say about just a little bit, few words. One of those sins is rebellion towards God and authority. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, then resist the devil and he will flee from you. We often quote, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the key to resisting the devil is to submit to God first. When you are in rebellion, you're acting in the same spirit as a devil, because he is in constant rebellion against God. So if you act in the same spirit as a devil, how can God heal you when you're being rebellious? It's interesting to note that in James chapter 5 verse 14, it says this, is anyone sick among you, or is anyone among you sick, let them call for the elders or the leaders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. There are many ways that the Bible tells us that we can be healed, and that's just one that I've quoted there. But here, this is very interesting, James is linking up healing with coming under the cover and authority in the local church. Very interesting. And I'm touching on this because a lack of submission to God is a big issue these days because of the culture in which we live. It's all about the individual, my rights. We live in a time, too, where church is seen as an event rather than a community. Church is a community. And some people habitually, and that's a key word, people make it a habit. So don't read something to this I'm not saying, but some people habitually, it's a habit, move around from Christian event to Christian event and church to church, never really sinking down their roots into a local church and thereby submitting themselves to God. Everybody understand what I'm saying? You know, we go to visit friends, I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. People who, this is their habit. And then what they'll say, because I've had it all said to me, well, it doesn't matter because the church is all one body anyway. And I thank God for all the churches. I have good relationships with other pastors, other ministries. But the New Testament is very strong on community, is strong on the local church, and is strong on us submitting one to another. And that's what communion is all about. It's about recognizing what Jesus has done and recognizing the body of the Lord. And submission to a local body of believers is what makes the wider body of Christ stronger. So if you're never intending to, if you're never intending to, and that's what I'm trying to say, sink your roots down into a local church, then you are not submitted to God. And then you're a target for the devil who's looking for people he can devour. So all I've got to say is wake up, choose a church and get connected. If you want to come here, great. If you don't like us, go somewhere else. We don't care. But just get connected to the body of Christ somewhere, because we're talking about you being healthy and being healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And sometimes we need to give expression to our desire to be under authority as we seek healing, and calling for the elders or calling for the leaders in a church to pray and anoint you is a practical expression of that intent and desire to be submitted to Almighty God. The second thing of sin that's a persistent sin that can make you vulnerable to sickness, and this will be no surprise to anybody, is to carry unforgiveness, to have deep-rooted unforgiveness. Offense can bring bitterness, and a bitter spirit is very vulnerable to illness. You know, unforgiveness becomes poison to you. It doesn't hurt the other person who's offended you. Amen. And so sometimes, you know, we're going to have an altar call in a few moments. But maybe just before somebody comes to pray for you, if you're carrying unforgiveness, Deal with it in Jesus' name, amen. And to forgive somebody is not about your emotions, it's about a decision. Because there's a lot of people I've forgiven, but my emotions have been slow to catch up. But I've made a decision, I'm going to forgive them anyway. Everybody understand that? Yeah, it doesn't mean, I've forgiven, I love them now. No, you've made a choice to forgive, amen. That's called faith in Jesus' name. So they're the five areas that sickness comes from: bugs and infections, poor diet and lifestyle, hereditary diseases, demonic strongholds, and sin. But I just want to remind you, before I finish off with how we get healed, is the two truths that this message is built upon. Firstly, God is not the one who sends sickness. Please note, I never said that. God is not the one who sends sickness. He's our healer. Secondly, God is willing and able to heal you, whoever you are, because Jesus took the curse of sickness and has released the blessing of healing to you, and nothing is too hard for the Lord. Okay, having said all of that, what practical methods does God use to replace unwanted sickness with our desired healing and better health? And there are a number of different ways that God heals, and sometimes it depends upon the source of the sickness. That's why there's a number of different ways. And all these different ways of healing are founded upon faith in what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross. Amen? So I've identified just nine, I'll go through them very quickly, nine key ways to healing, and we're going to use some of these in a few moments. Number one, use some common sense. Improve your diet and lifestyle, and then the healing powers that God's put into your body, they're going to kick in, and we should all be doing this to honor God. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." The second way to receive healing is when we repent of our sins of unforgiveness and or a rebellious spirit, and any other sins for that matter. James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may get sicker." So that you may be healed. You know, there could be somebody here today, you're going to come to the front for healing, but you're going to repent of your sins, and you won't even need anybody to pray for you, because God's going to touch you as you repent, because it's a barrier, and the barrier gets moved out of the way, and bang, the Holy Spirit hits you, and you're healed in Jesus' name. Number three, this is very important, doctors and medicines. Thank God for doctors. We've got a flying doctor in our church. He flew in this morning, amen, he's there, and he'll fly out later. Doctors are wonderful gifts to humanity. Mark 2:17 says this, "On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It's not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick.'" Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm very blessed, very fortunate in that I enjoy excellent health. But I do visit a chiropractor from time to time. I say, thank God for my chiropractor. And I like to play squash. I do a lot of exercise. And because of the way I'm wired up, I'm always trying to go too hard. And so I put my back out sometimes, or a hip, or a neck, or an arm. it went too hard. So what I do is I visit a chiro. My chiro is actually a born-again Christian. When I visited him the first time, he said to me, these are his words, he says, "I take the laying on of hands very seriously." Amen. So I go, and what he does, he goes, I put it out, he goes, click, click, click. He pushes me all back together again, and off I go, and we do the whole cycle again. Amen. He's a gift from God to me. And I say, thank God for doctors and nurses. But I do say this, follow your doctor's instructions. Follow your doctor's instructions, but stay informed about what pills you put in your mouth. Always be informed. Read the side effects of anything you put in your mouth. Amen? That's all I've got to say about that. But the thing is that sometimes doctors don't know all of the answers. They got no idea. They're doing the best that they can. But God always knows the answers. So we come to number four. How do you get healed? Through prayer and meditation on the scriptures. Psalm 77 verses 11 to 12 says, "I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." When you consider what Christ has done, when you remember and meditate upon the curse for blessings exchange, faith is ignited and healing splashes all over you. Praise God. Number five, this is very powerful. Speak the scriptures over your body. Power and life are in your tongue, your mouth. You could speak your way to good health, or you could speak your way into sickness. The choice is yours. Be careful what you say. And I urge everybody in this room to speak health into your body. Speak to your back. Speak to your blood. Speak to your head. And just don't wait before you're sick, before you talk to yourself. When you are well, speak health and strength over your mind and over your body, because prevention is better than cure. Has anybody got a newsletter? Anybody got a church newsletter? Everybody, see if you can find a newsletter. No, that's for you. I've got my own newsletter. Look at the newsletter, everybody, and we're going to pray in just a tick, but look at the newsletter. There's a great confession there. If you don't have a newsletter, just sidle up next to the person next to you. We quote Isaiah 53 verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." That's a great confession. And just to say, by his stripes we are healed. We are healed, we are healed. Then there's this other confession. Actually, do you want to read it with me, everybody? Here we go. Let it wash all over you. Here we go. "I am the body of Christ from the curses, for Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases in his own body, and by his stripes I am healed. Therefore, I forbid any sickness, disease, or accident to operate on or in my body, and every artery, bone, cartilage, cell, disc, gland, joint, ligament, muscle, nerve, organ, sinew, tendon, tissue, vertebrae, my blood, my heart, and skin will all function in the perfection which God created them to function in the name of Jesus." Hey, what if you read that out several times a day this week? You'll feel a lot better. Praise God. Number 6. Laying on of hands. Mark 16 verse 18 says, "They will place their hands on sick people and they will get worse." No, the Bible says they will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well in Jesus' name. And we're going to do that in just a moment. We're going to lay hands upon sick people and they will get well. And please note, just look at that verse you've got on the TVs. Please note this, that the healing comes through people connecting with people. It's the church submitting and ministering one to another, laying on of hands. 7, nearly done. Call for the leaders, the elders of the church. James 5 verse 14. "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders, the leaders of the church, to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." And this time, the leaders of the local church anoint with oil and pray over the sick. And we'll do that. We've got bottles of oil too. Number 8, take authority over the devil. Luke 7:21 says, "At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Because of demonic oppression, we sometimes have to cast out evil spirits by using the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior." Then number 9, finally, is, how do you get healed? Laughter and joy, because a cheerful heart is good medicine. God sometimes uses laughter and joy to bring wholeness and healing. And if you laughed more often, you would be a lot healthier, everybody. Amen. Amen. So they're just some of the ways in which God heals. And it raises a question. And the final thing I want to say is, why does God heal? Why? God heals for one basic reason. He heals because he loves you. He loves you. Jesus saw the sick and he was moved with compassion. God loves you. God has compassion for you because God is love. God is your healer. God is your health. He's your strength. God is willing and able to heal you. And there is no sickness that God cannot heal. You are no longer cursed. You are blessed. You're favored.